Well, how the hell are you, Boston? Hello. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And we are on the Odyssey app and launched into markets everywhere. How about that? You can listen to us right there on your phone. If you go to the Odyssey app, press that little microphone button while you're there. Launches a take grenade. We play that later on in the show. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
We have an affiliate in Edinburgh and Glasgow now. Last 24 hours, we've added those.
Why the hell not? I will say that after about a week of Scotland taking over the city, last night was Iraq's turn. Last night,
Norwegians? What'd you see out there?
I didn't see... I've seen one family with Norway kits on. Uh-huh. And last night, it was an Iraq party.
Really?
Down at the Common. There were hundreds gathered. And there's videos now of the whole crew moving towards downtown crossing, and they're in that area. And I'll say this one thing about the Iraq fans. They party late. It was midnight, and they were cranking their cars and motorcycles and stuff. I don't know, but they were up late last night. And so I have not seen any of Iraq.
9 p.m. right now in Baghdad, if you're wondering.
Okay, I haven't seen. Is it Morocco the other one that's in this group? I don't think I've seen anybody wearing
that. Yep,
that
is Morocco, yep.
Haven't seen Norway except for one family. But you have got Scotland and you have got Iraq everywhere. Yes, Jackson, what were you saying?
So when I was talking to the Scottish fellows the other day, they said that today would be a rest day for them. Maybe they might go out and see the sights, see some museums, do some culture stuff, but a little bit of a break from the partying.
Oh, well, that didn't happen because, spoiler alert, there was an article that came out about how Hennessy's down over at Faneuil Hall ran out of beer.
Wow.
They said it's three times as busy as St. Patrick's Day down there.
Ooh.
So just to check in, I called Hennessy's, and this guy answered the phone. He's like, "What do you want?" and I said, "Well, hey, I'm Rich from WEI. I want to tell you, I don't know if I can do it. It's crazy around here." And he hung up. So we'll see. Maybe we'll talk to those guys.
Hey, you know what, though? I'll say this. Good for those guys because it is, it's been hard. More and more kids, or people aren't going out and drinking anymore. So a lot of the bar owners, whenever I go in there, they complain to me that no one drinks anymore. That
Jackson takes his dates to breakfast. It's bizarre.
It's a total different shift in attitude.
I make
so
these for the dates.
Uh-huh. These poor bars, man, that have been thriving around here for such a long time are really hurting right now, man. So this is a good boost for them.
It's funny, Ted, you say that because it's true. I've noticed that the generation now of the people in their early 20s, there is a tendency to not either drink or drink as much. There's a whole thing where there's these bars opening up that specialize in non-alcoholic drinks. I don't know what the shift is, and I'm not saying one way is right or one way is wrong. It just seems different.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I think the bars are feeling a little bit of the pinch.
No doubt.
Because, people aren't. Maybe our generation was just we were banged up. Oh, I don't know what it was.
Big time, man. I'm looking at tickets. If you want to get into this game tonight, Iraq game. There's, I think, two tickets left. I think I see. I'm looking at the last two tickets in section 109. And you can get it for $500. So
that's not so bad.
If you still want to go, I think there's section 109. Two tickets left. So
maybe they can figure out the cluster F of getting in and out of that place.
That's the problem. You can get a ticket, but how the hell do you get in?
I know. It seems like a mess. And once again, I've been telling the people, when it's a Patriots game, it's pretty easy. I have to be honest, they do a pretty good job lately. I mean, going in and out with the self-scanners and things like that, and even the parking, they've kind of figured everything out. Why is it such a cluster F now? FIFA just had to come in and just ruin everything.
I wonder if the Pats were effing with them. All right, we'll give you the stadium. Here's the keys. Have fun.
Sure,
what I mean?
Yeah,
gave them no instructions on how to behave.
Maybe so.
Yep.
Maybe so. You're going to take all my signage down? All right, watch this.
Yeah. We'll see how that all works out.
I don't know how
it
was for you, Rich, though, but this was the first day where my algorithm was overtaken. It was Scotland and Rush content for the last 3 or 4 days, but it finally was overtaken by Giannis stuff this morning.
And
it was delightful.
Well,
it is everywhere.
It is everywhere, and it's
right.
A load of it, and the smoke is indeed fire. As a matter of fact, let's go and get some sports happen, shall we?
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Yes, it did. And Sports Happened is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Well, today might be the day that the Celtics pass the Miami Heat on the betting site Kalshi as having the best chance to land Giannis Antetokounmpo this offseason. The C's chances in the last 5 days have jumped from a mere 9% to, I saw about 45 minutes ago, a whopping 39% chance.
It's neck and neck.
What is it now?
36, Miami 44, but it's fluctuating.
Okay.
It's bouncing all over.
Because it has been bouncing, but at one point it got all the way up to 39%, and I believe Miami was at 41. And it all started with that report from Bill Simmons a couple of days ago saying that he thought the C's were out, but they were definitely back in. Kevin O'Connor seemed to echo that report. And then Sam Amick from The Athletic jumped in, and now it's a full-on firestorm of heat surrounding the potential trade, and it's blown up in all of our faces. Even mega insider Mark Stein today has joined the chorus.
But the Boston talk, it has gotten louder and louder and louder. And really, since the end of May, this has been out there. And my old friend Bill Simmons beat me to it. I wrote about this in May, that my weekend column, whatever day it was, Saturday or Sunday, I was going to write, the two teams that keep coming up with Giannis are Miami and Boston. And Bill said it on his podcast, like on a Thursday, a couple days before my weekend column. So, you know, Bill was the first one to talk about Boston as a place that interests Giannis. And based on everything I've heard for the last 2-3 weeks, I think that was dead on.
Okay. Ooh. Well, I mean, there's also so many people are coming out, like John Corrales said it, that you never really hear about the Celtics' dealings behind the scenes. Like, they're like experts at keeping things stealth. So the reason that, or the fact that it's out there, is that coming from the Celtics? Is it coming from somebody else? Or did the Celtics put it out there on purpose to try to jack up the price for Miami? There's a lot of questions surrounding it, but the assumption was that you'd be giving up Jaylen Brown to get Giannis, correct? Like, that's
correct.
Been the talk for
that
a while.
Feels like
not
that's
directly, but with a third team, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. But you have to surrender Jaylen.
Yes. Jaylen would not be here. Giannis would be here. It doesn't matter where he's going. In some sort of math, that was the exception or the expectation. But as I was saying yesterday, when Miami was reportedly offering the Bucks for Giannis, an offer of Tyler Herro and picks really wasn't that much. So,
and the 13th, I think, pick is another thing, the sweetener maybe.
Yeah.
So it's Tyler Herro, and then also the 13th pick in the draft this year.
So
or next year.
So maybe the Celtics could offer something that didn't involve Jaylen Brown when you take a look at what Miami was offering, and you could possibly get Giannis while still keeping the Jays together. And you know what? The Globe's Gary Washburn seems to report that the Celtics might be thinking the same thing. Let's take a listen.
I don't think he's going to be a Celtic. And that's just from what I'm hearing. I think the Celtics are gauging what it would take to get Giannis to Boston and trying to figure out whether they want to move Jaylen Brown. And if there's rumors that Jaylen has been moved and he hears that all summer, what kind of mentality will he have coming into next season, which is critical for this franchise? I do think Miami has the edge on this, but I do think Boston is kind of sniffing around and finding out, could you even acquire Giannis without sacrificing Jaylen? That would be a big question. What is exactly Milwaukee looking for?
I mean, boy, but that's as bad as the Miami package, right? Do you have something better than Tyler Herro and the 13th pick if you don't give up Jaylen?
I don't know. All I know is that Tyler Herro and the picks that they're offering isn't any great shakes. So maybe the Celtics can cobble something together. Brad Stevens has done an excellent job this time of year. Like, Brad Stevens has somehow been able to get players such as Porzingis here, yep, Drew Holiday. I mean, he's got a good track record. So in this case, I'm not, this isn't like wishes and hopes and dreams. We're dealing with a guy who's pretty good at this job.
Yeah.
And so maybe, just maybe, he can figure out, and Gary Washburn seems to think the same thing, that there might be a way, or at least the Celtics are trying to find out if there is a way,
yeah,
to make it happen. And if he does that,
I mean, that's interesting. I know it's when you have those three players, you think JB and Giannis and JT, you go, well, you don't need role players. I don't know. One guy gets hurt. One of those guys misses a lot of time. We know Giannis can miss a lot of time. I just feel like there's an importance that needs to be put on the rest of your roster. I mean, a lot of these teams that are in these finals, man, they go 10 deep. So
you have to trade White, Hauser, and Pritchard.
Yeah. To get
all three.
If you're not going to trade Brown,
fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't take that, would they? I mean, would they? What does Milwaukee want with those three without a star?
What are their choices? It sounds like it's a two-horse race, and it feels like they really want to get rid of Giannis. So I'm not sure they have all that leverage to be, you know, worrying about that kind of thing. So I think they got to just try and get the best deal they can for this guy.
Yeah, they're not keeping him. I think we're all pretty convinced that relationship's over with. So, I mean, all you got to do is beat Miami. All you got to do is beat what they're able to offer.
And South Beach. Giannis force his way to South Beach if he really wants to go there instead of here?
Well, see, that's what I think he wants.
Really?
I think he wants to go to South Beach. I think South Beach at the Miami Heat can't don't satisfy what the Bucks want. And the Celtics is just kind of his second choice. And that's what I feel like. I think he really wants to go to Miami.
Because he, first of all, if it's Bam Adebayo and Giannis down there, I don't believe they're winning anything. I don't think those two together are winning anything.
Heck no.
They're interesting, but they're not, certainly not the favorite.
No. And I think Spoelstra is a great coach, and I think he's able to get the best out of players, but they're not winning anything. You know,
especially because then they trade Hero and half the, you know, their supporting cast.
Yeah, yeah. I do think it's worth it, Ted. And I understand exactly what you're saying, because you're right. That's a big problem. I mean, there's, you're going to have to cobble together pieces like and ones that obviously aren't that great because of the money that you're spending on the three biggest stars. But I think that's a risk you take. I think you get those three together and you figure it out. Mm-hmm. And if anything, as I said, Brad Stevens has been pretty good about getting those pieces around them and finding talent. Guys like Pritchard, he found Pritchard, got him in there. I mean, you just, I have a...
For free? Like, ask him to come here for just,
No, I'm not saying, actual Pritchard, but I'm saying that he's got a good eye for talent that could be underpaid. And I just think that that's a risk you take. Yeah. Yes.
Make of this what you will. I always put stock into the social media stuff, what goes on social media, who's unfollowing who. So Tyler Herro posted a photo the other day, and Tyler's brother, Austin, commented under that post with a buck, like a gif of a buck.
Well, maybe they're ball busting. I mean, I think at this point, you know, if you're in these rumors, it's in your head. You know, I don't know how you can be Tyler Herro or even Jaylen Brown and not, like, this isn't the only thing you're thinking about. You're about to get uprooted. Your whole career that you've built, you're about to go to a completely different city, new friends, new homes. It's got to be everything you think about.
That's the other aspect of this story that I find fascinating. Like, if you're Jaylen Brown, this is like the fifth offseason where your name is being floated in like trade rumors.
Well, how about Tyler Herro? This is probably like the seventh offseason where your name is being floated. Both of those guys.
Sam Amick was saying yesterday, basically, he knows for a fact that Brad Stevens has no problem trading Jaylen Brown to make his team better. Like, that's, I mean, I'm,
you think he's a gunslinger? He's ready to fire.
I mean, that's the way Sam Amick was kind of presenting it, which I found a little bit hard to believe.
You want to know why? Because Brad's good at his job. That's why.
Yeah, but all we heard from Terp was slingshot. Take another year under the apron. Yeah. You know, new owner doesn't want to spend. Wait a year. So that's great if he is.
But that's the big unknown. I think we all agree. We don't know what this owner is going to do. We have no we don't know if he's cheap. We don't know if he's willing to spend. This offseason is going to show us a lot.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Now, this note from Windhorst, did you guys see this? He wrote this. Very interesting. The Celtics are on Antetokounmpo's list. He'd be willing to extend his contract if he were traded there too, league sources say. The Celtics typically don't get involved in situations where they have to be involved with player agents alongside the team. Giannis and his representation have definitely tried to have a seat at the table during the process, a fact that makes the Celtics uncomfortable.
And that might explain why there's more information out there on the Celtics side, because the agent has forced himself into negotiations. That could be why there's leaks more than there ever has been.
Ted, that's a decent point. 617-779-7937. And we have some people in the know coming out and putting more gas on the fire.
These
baby.
Are my favorite clips. I have a presentation for you my people.
Ken walked up and said, just get ready, baby. I got some clips ready. He's rubbing his hands like Mr. Burns. Can't wait to launch these at us. And we're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes with those clips of Ken's. Is this the song where Will Smith says that he puts a cigar in his mouth, but just for the look, he doesn't smoke it because he didn't want to, you know, send a bad message to the kids who might be buying his CD back in the day?
Like that? Send those Ipswich.
It's just for the look. Oh, yeah, that's right, the Ipswich kids.
I feel like there's a point in which, there was a time in which he was one of the more talented people in entertainment.
Just, oh, yeah.
The fact that he could sing and in the movies.
His Q rating was probably about as high as he could get. Like, there was
slapped. Who'd he slap across the face?
Oh, Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
And that's when it all came tumbling down.
Oh, his wife drove me crazy.
Oh, she's kind of, she's out there, man.
She was like filming him, like, why are we, first of all, she like told the world she hooked up with like their son's best friend and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, she's messed with his head so many times. Oof.
You know what? I had a little bit of sympathy towards Will Smith after I kind of saw what she was saying about him and how she was treating him. I was like, all right, dude, women can drive you insane enough to walk up on stage on like one of the biggest shows on TV and slap somebody.
That was the most awkward thing I've ever seen on TV, in live TV.
Oh, yeah.
I was in shock what I just saw.
Well, the craziest thing about it, too, was I remember when I was watching it live, it was janky. Like everything was kind of like what just happened? The sound dropped out. Yeah. What's going on? And then like 5 minutes later, the feed from like somewhere, it was like Japan or something. It was like a different country where they had not edited it out. You finally were like, oh my God, he's like swearing at Chris Rock. And then he goes up and slaps him. Like a lot of that was edited. And yeah. I'm like, I can't believe this really happened. Yeah. But you know what?
Then they let him win the award, and he goes up and gives that acceptance speech.
Oh, just like crazy Serena Williams' dad, you know? I can feel you. I'm kind of like that tonight. Like, no. Don't be doing that. All right, so the big news is that, you know, there's a lot of smoke around Giannis to the Celtics, and Kalshi just keeps on going, getting hotter and hotter and hotter. I think it was at 39% was the highest that I've seen it. Which is big because it was 9% just a couple of days ago. But thanks to Bill Simmons and a bunch of other insiders, they do believe that the Celtics, as a matter of fact, Bill Simmons straight up said that the Celtics made an offer for Giannis.
Yep.
So, but what we're hearing now is that there could be a chance, or at least the Celtics seem to be exploring a way of getting Giannis here without having to give up Jaylen Brown. And if they do that, man, already executive of the year. If you can get Giannis here to play with the two Jays, and you somehow figured a way to manipulate the money and the picks and the trade, then you're the executive of the year. Then you just created the favorites in the East. Now, whether or not they do anything, we've seen a million times how everything on paper looks like it's going to work, and then it all blows up.
I mean, technically, they are already the favorites in the East, which is kind of strange. They're ahead of the Knicks if you look at the favorites, the future.
Isn't that crazy?
It's bizarre.
That's a little bit.
Oh, that's right. You sent that.
That's what should upset Celtics fans. The fact that the Celtics were the favorite going into the Eastern Conference playoffs this past year, and then they get bounced in the first round, and now they're still ahead of the defending world champs.
And both are well behind the West, which is now, to me, it's just we've miscalculated this whole thing. I mean, the Western Conference is not as good as we thought they were, point blank, period. I mean, OKC won last year barely because Halliburton tears an ACL. Two of the last three title winners are in the East. Why do we give OKC and the Spurs so much credit?
I think it's just top to bottom. The Western Conference is a better conference, but it's maybe more. At least that's what the feeling is, that it's top to bottom. It's just a better conference overall than the East.
And maybe the Celtics feel that. Maybe they just think this was a screw up. I don't believe that you should think that way. I think their style of basketball is outdated. The three shot is just it's something that Golden State made popular, and it worked for a while. And now people have figured out how to defend it, and it's a completely different ballgame.
Giannis comes here, they change their style.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's not even a question. You have to.
Yeah.
Like, so that's not even a debate, right?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see Mazzulla change his style.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have to. He
said he would. Give me a post guy, I'll post them up all day.
We shall see. All right, so you've got some clips you're very, very excited about.
Well, very excited because these are three heavy hitters, okay? And they're all pro-Giannis to Boston, as you would expect. The first is Reggie Miller. I haven't heard him comment. He was on Dan Patrick. This guy was seventh. He still is seventh in NBA for three-point field goals attempted, okay? This is Mr. Three-Pointer.
He's fallen to seventh?
He's fallen to seventh.
Isn't that funny how, like, Steph Curry, just in the past, like, 10 years, it's...
Oh, yeah.
James Harden, Ray Allen, Klay Thompson, Damian LeBron.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and threes attempted. He's ripping the Celtics for taking too many threes in this clip with Dan Patrick.
I still like the Boston. I think if you're Joe Mazzulla, you do have to change a little bit. They took way too many threes. I'm sorry. And again, I know this is...
But are you giving up Jaylen Brown?
If that's what it's going to take, I mean, I'll have to see the rest of that roster. Yeah, I mean...
I can't do that.
53s a game is way too much. Look how the game is being won now, especially in the finals and in the playoffs. You've got to have mid-range games.
And he goes on to get full detail, but this is Reggie Miller telling you have a three-point problem.
But the difference is, and he just said it there at the very end, it's the three-point shot in the playoffs and in the finals.
Yeah.
It's not regular season. You want to do that. You want to live and die by the three. Okay, but when you get in the playoffs and you get into the finals – you got to adjust how you play offense.
And what happened to the Celtics? They had Tatum back, and in the playoffs, they just reverted to the old style. Yep. Like, they stopped doing what was so successful in the regular season this year.
Did you guys think the first few games that he was back, Tatum was back, I was like, oh, I kind of like the way this offense looks. You know, Tatum was the two.
Yeah.
He was off ball. The ball was flying around. He was more of a secondary option, and I just felt like they looked better.
Embiid returned, and they just lost their brain. Yeah. You know, they just went back to the crib. I don't know what happened. They just went back to infancy. But my man Perk is second up for cuts this morning. This was on First Take, and of course he's very. We've already heard him on the record in favor of this. But I love the comparison he makes to what this could be if Giannis comes here.
Giannis better take his ass to Boston. Giannis better take his ass to Boston. That makes the most sense for everybody. Him going to Miami does absolutely nothing.
I agree.
Does not move the needle. Him and Bam out of the bio, that is not singing championship to me. He gets to Boston for Jaylen Brown, and you're looking at Tatum coming back off an injury, and he looked damn good this part, last part of this season, and he's coming in after a full offseason of being able to work out and get back to rare form, and you're able to keep Peyton Pritchard, who's on a team-friendly contract, and Derek White. Oh, you're working with something. You're working with something. Matter of fact, that's Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett all over again.
Now, how do you like that? That's Pierce and KG all over again.
That's actually a really good, that's a decent comparison, but I don't remember Garnett being as jacked up when he came here as Giannis has been lately.
Injury-wise?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that, because my third and final piece of audio is from Nick Wright and First Things First, and they put up an awesome graphic with Kevin Garnett and Giannis side by side. Same age as when Kevin Garnett joined the Celtics, 31, almost the identical number of games played, 974 to 939 or something like that. Almost the exact same number of all-star appearances. Obviously, KG had not won a championship at that point, and you know, Giannis has already won that. But he talks about more in depth why he likes Giannis to Boston.
If he ends up in Boston, and that maybe should be as much of a focus as the Heat side of it, I think that is awesome for everyone involved. I think the Celtics have now, for the fifth offseason of his career, floated Jaylen Brown's name in trade rumors. So if they don't get it done, I think you are already potentially, I think, having a, I don't want to say Jaylen Brown problem, but potential Jaylen Brown
that they haven't treated him with the utmost respect
they've not treated him like Jason Tatum. No.
Now, relationship management. I love that phrase. Don't you think that's accurate? What happens if you don't get Giannis? You have a relationship management problem with Jaylen Brown now. Like, you're beyond the point of no return.
Haven't you had to deal with this for a long time?
No, he hasn't put the house up for sale. He's not talking about Rice. He's not, you know.
No, you know what? That's a good point.
He's acting erratically.
And after he did what he did, like, he thinks, you know, what he showed in the regular season was, you know, his Mona Lisa, right? So now you can't, and you're still putting me out on the trade after what I did. So I could see there being a difference in the two. The only difference, I mean, when you compare Kevin Garnett to Giannis, and that's an interesting comparison, what is the mindset difference? There's a big difference. One, Giannis, I might be 2 hours late for the plane. Yeah. Or Kevin Garnett, all he wanted when he got here was to raise a banner, to be part of a Celtics history, to put his imprint on his stamp here. And that, I don't know if that's how Giannis thinks.
No.
The fact that he wants to go to Miami worries me, because if you want to go to Miami and you know you don't have a chance, what does that say about you a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, KG was a culture setter. And the other thing, too, KG was coming to a city, wasn't known for being a good basketball team. You knew there was one great player there. You knew that Paul Pierce was sitting here waiting for you, and he was one of your buddies. But it wasn't like the city of champions. I mean, the Celtics had sucked for a long time before he showed up.
Was Rondo on those teams?
Yeah, Rondo was.
So
Rondo was there, but and Perk was young, so really, really didn't know what you had.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, look what their record was the year before they got him. Yeah. That was the Wally Szczerbiak years.
Yeah,
not great. People showing up much like at Fenway Park with bags on their head.
Do you think
that
this is a big, big risk for Brad Stevens to make? Like, do you think this is?
Yeah,
it's either going to go really good or really bad.
Because Jalen's great, and I think that a lot of us are sitting here with a very skewed vision of how good Jaylen Brown is, because he's pissed us off, because he's run his mouth, he's not saying the right thing, and I think that's clouding some of our perception of who he is as a basketball player and who he is.
Do you think they could run it back and be no problem? They could get along?
They're not going to win. Could they get along?
Jays.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
You do?
Yes.
I worry about that.
I say I think you could have the same high floor. You can finish, top, 1-2-3 in the East, but then get bounced in the playoffs again. I feel like you're going to have a higher ceiling, I think, with Giannis, but a lower floor and a higher floor and a lower ceiling with if you stay with JB.
I think Brad's trying to paint his masterpiece. I think he's trying to figure out a way to get Giannis here and keep the Jays together. Yeah, and if he can do that, then God bless him. God bless him. And I think that if there's any guy in the league that might be able to pull that off, he could be the guy.
I bet you. My feeling is Milwaukee doesn't think straight up trade for JB and Giannis is enough, that you're going to have to throw in a Pritchard or Hauser.
I think it's a third team. They get the fifth pick in the draft from the Clippers. Jaylen goes to L.A., something like that. So from Milwaukee, you're not getting Jaylen Brown. You're getting a foundational reset piece, a high pick in this year's draft in one week away.
All right. 617-779-7937. Sean McAdam's going to be on in a little bit. He's going to talk about this story about how John Henry's like just wandering around but not talking to anybody. And also, we've got Ty Windisch, who is a Giannis Bucks reporter. We're going to have him on as well. And, of course, Kat Harvey from the Tartan Army. We'll have her on just a few. As much as I am a fan of Helmet House of Pain, we got to get some appropriate Scottish music here. We got to get like...
Somebody over the weekend told me Annie Lennox. I didn't know she was Scottish, so we played some Annie Lennox. We'll ask Kat. I don't know if she identifies with her.
How about the gentleman that was supposed to be singing in San Diego this weekend and then apparently said he was sick and was found at Boston Stadium, Mr. Rod Stewart? Mm-hmm. So maybe the person who can comment on that is our good friend Kat Harvey from Scotland STV Radio. She is here covering the Tartan Army, who have absolutely taken over the city of Boston over the last several days. How are you still standing? You guys have obviously been hitting it hard.
I'm not. That's why I need this chair. I can't even. It's just like a fever dream how mental this place has been. Listen to my voice. I've gone all kind of like, you could, you know, like one of the phone line numbers.
That's what it sounds like.
You pay for that. Are you enjoying this?
Yeah. Turn up the bass.
It's just been the most surreal few days, but it's been absolutely incredible. It's what sport's all about, isn't it?
Kat, you don't know how, like, everyone's saying that this was the perfect city for you guys to come to.
I told you that the last time I was on because, like, I've been to Boston once before, and I know you like to party, you have amazing bars, you like just chatting to people. You're quite chatty, and that's us to a T, and we've fallen in love with Boston.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to say that Boston has also fallen in love with the Tartan Army.
We have no choice.
It's been great. Yeah. I mean, first of all, there's been so many moments that have been caught online that have, you know, gone viral that have been very funny. One of my favorites is someone from the Tartan Army showed up with a bagpipe and went down this thing that we call the cop slide. There is a famous slide that was built where this police officer went down and he had like a gun on him and stuff. And the video where you can just see the bottom of the slide and all of a sudden you see the dude with the bagpipe come through. It's just perfection.
Was he wearing a kilt as well? Because
That might not be.
Got a heart a bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had Jackson talk to someone outside of Fenway Park on Friday who was bragging about, we don't wear nothing under these kilts. And I'm like, well, don't be doing jumping jacks.
Well, that's the thing. If you ask a Scotsman what's worn under the kilt, they always say nothing. It's in perfect working order.
Perfect. All right. So I want to know what your weekend has been like since we last talked to you, which was on Thursday.
Okay.
Take me through what has happened during those days.
Okay. So on Friday, I ended up at the big fundraiser party the Tartan Army put it on. It's a kind of, there's a charity in Scotland called Street Soccer, and they raise money for people that are like homeless or they need purpose, and it's through football, so it's through sport to give them a boost for the mental health and stuff. And it raised $2 million in one night.
Wow. Really?
$2 million in one night. So there was lots of people that were there that were famous. Susan Boyle was meant to be there singing, but she wasn't well.
Okay.
I mean, she probably popped up at the game with Rod Stewart, I don't know.
Can I just say something? $2 million. There are like huge organizations that all year prepare for like these big balls and stuff in town, like big galas, and they don't raise $2 million.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, so it was the Yarrow Foundation is the people that put it on, and they obviously have friends. Like Gerard Butler was there. Ooh. And I ended up, and the First Minister of Scotland, who's like the most important politician.
Sure.
And like, I'm not famous enough to get into that, so I always scam my way in somehow.
Hell yeah. So look like you know what you're doing and you'll get
a couple of years ago at the Euros, I went in as the Bay City Rollers tambourine player. And this time Johnny Mack, who plays with the Bay City Rollers, was doing a slot. He was playing guitar. And I went in as a singer. So you know the song Yes Sir I Can Boogie that the Tartan Army have been singing everywhere? So he said that I had to sing that, and now I am a very average karaoke singer at best. But if you ply me with enough Prosecco, I think I'm amazing. I ended up singing in front of Gerard Butler on Friday night, which is probably why my voice is like that.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that was
Friday.
That was Friday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Saturday I was over by Boston Common, and what's great is that, you know, there was a lot of time to kill before everyone was going to the train station, which was kind of a cluster. lackluster, I have to be quite honest. Right in Boston Common, I've learned three things about the Scots. Number one, they sing a lot, even when they're not at games.
All the
they
time.
They sing a lot. Number two, they never seem to get tired. Like, it's like the energy is off the charts.
I genuinely, see, if I was to show you my Fitbit, you would send me straight to accident and emergency. It is ridiculous. I have not slept in 4 days.
I don't doubt
it. So, yeah, as I said, we're super excited. This is our first time at a World Cup in 28 years.
It's awesome.
We've got a lot of making up to do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and by the way, the other thing, I learned that they are fascinated by our marijuana delivery ads. The amount of Scottish people in kilts I saw taking pictures of the ads on side of like trash cans.
So is that legal here?
Oh yeah, weed's legal.
All right, so it's not legal in Scotland, so that'll be why. Well,
enjoy yourself. Have yourself a good time. It hasn't been legal long, maybe like 10 years, I think. But perfectly legal, absolutely.
Oh yes, because it does smell. The city does smell. Yeah.
Well, but you can edibles. You'll be perfectly fine. Okay, so let's talk about Saturday. Let's talk about the game itself. You know, getting there out front of the game, like just kind of take me through what that day was.
So this
is
where it gets a little bit serious.
Okay.
And I'm not, it was horrendous.
Oh yeah.
It was horrendous.
Okay.
I've covered football for over 30 years and that's the worst stadium situation I've ever had.
It was bad. And you know what's crazy is that, you know, this is when from us who, you know, Ted played at Gillette Stadium. So like from the outside looking in, even locals were going, what are they doing? Because that's not the way people get into Patriots games when the Patriots play there.
What did go wrong then? What?
So a couple of things. First of all, there was a huge parking lot. I'm sure you noticed that, that they weren't letting people park in for some reason. It was like an empty parking lot, which a ton more people could have been there. The other thing was weren't they using limited entrances? Because it seemed like you were in a crowd.
Many in one entrance. I don't know.
So
which
we ended up going in gate two.
Yeah.
And that was the one, I think, having seen all the stories afterwards, that had the most problems.
Oh.
And it was basically at one point, and everyone went, oh, you must have gone, you know, all at the same time. We didn't.
Yeah.
I had friends that went 3 hours before kickoff and friends that went an hour before kickoff. And I went 2 hours before kickoff.
Yeah.
And I got stuck in this little pocket of people. And when I say little pocket, that's a lie. It was probably a good 2,000 folk trying to get in one gate.
Yeah. They got to fix that.
With nobody, no barriers. It was a squash. It was a crush waiting to happen.
It's
probably only the second time in my entire life I've felt scared at a football game. Mm,
so, Kat, really? That's FIFA.
Yeah,
because
and I know that because I went down a kind of rabbit hole to find out why it was such a disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was it. So I'm hoping that somebody sat down and worked out the logistics for our next game on Friday.
I hope so, Kat, because now they've got it down to, it's really easy actually to get in because they've got these scanners that basically scan you when you go in, so like security wise you're all set.
Here's the thing,
so you don't get wanded.
Well, they got so overwhelmed by the amount of people trying to get in one gate, they just randomly opened it and everybody went through, so not one of us went through a scanner. Bag never got checked.
Really?
Nothing.
Wow. Yeah.
So my 2 liter bottle of vodka was fine.
You're A-okay.
That's a win.
All right.
I'm only joking. But the thing was, once you're inside, it's an amazing stadium. It was just brilliant.
Yeah.
And everybody we met, it wasn't their fault.
Yeah.
It was a logistical thing that needs fixed for the next games.
It does. It does. Wow. And I don't know. I don't know how much faith I have that they're going to do it, because I think that locally it's out of their hands. There's these rules and regulations that FIFA has put out there.
Also, the trains there. Terrible queues. One broke down, air conditioning broke down. Oh, the car park on the way back took us 2.5 hours to get out the car park.
Oh.
So
that's normal. That we're used to that.
Right, okay. But we still love you guys.
My God, the anthem alone before that match was goosebumps. Just watching on social media, what was it like in the stadium to have that?
So I'll not lie, I had a little tear in my eye because my dad passed away a few years ago and he was the one that took me to Scotland games. And if you hear that anthem, it's one of these ones that just gets you. And here's the best part about this. It was officially... Oh, you've got it. Oh, don't. You're going to set me off. Wow.
Listen to that.
You are setting me off.
You're actually crying. You're crying right now.
So, yeah, my dad took me to Scotland games when I was wee, and he passed away, and, like, again, he... you know, 28 years since the last World Cup, I kind of feel him with me and all that. And there's so many people there. But officially, and this is the best, but I don't know if you've heard this, but officially, it's the loudest noise that's ever been at a World Cup because they record the decibel levels.
Oh, yeah.
So 125 it hit, which is officially the loudest noise that's ever been at a World Cup.
This past Saturday, that was recorded. Yep. That was the loudest
that
ever.
That anthem right there. Yep. I mean, that's, I believe it. Just that's every cool. every clip that people took there, you could just hear it so crystal clear.
So we might not win the World Cup, but we've got that.
You know what? You, honestly, the Scots are teaching, we were saying this earlier, you're teaching Americans how to be good sports fans. Mm. Like, I mean, we're putting us to shame. The amount of singing and cheering And we'll talk about what happened at Fenway. As a matter of fact, let's take a quick break. 2 minutes, we'll be right back. We'll let you kind of dry your eyes a little bit there.
Thanks for that.
We'll be back with Kat. Just 2 minutes, we'll be right back. Is this the song you were singing, Kat? We have Kat Harvey in studio right now. It's Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. And she is from STV Radio in Scotland and covering the Tartan Army in studio. What a week. Week and a half. Like, I don't know how when you're leaving, but are you leaving when it's all done?
No, we're not leaving. We're staying here. We're having so much fun. My remit is I'm just going to stay until we go out. So I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just, it's kind of crazy.
So we're in Boston until
I'm in Boston till Sunday.
Okay, till Sunday.
So most folk will stay till Saturday, I think.
Okay, all right. It's going to feel like the circus left town when you guys are gone.
I know. You're all going to be sad and miss us.
We are.
Without a question.
Although the Norwegians are coming. And they're good fun as well.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I saw my first group of Norwegians today. Yeah. Like, they just arrived. Like, I saw like a family and they had the Norwegian kits on. And
so. No, they're good fun. They like to party too.
Oh, they do?
Tonight, my friends have already messaged me saying they're in some bar downtown and that there's a Norwegian Scottish party happening.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, join in. The dream final, by the way, is the Netherlands versus Scotland.
Oh, wow.
Because we would be the same level of noise. They're great fun.
So, Kat, this was cool. I mean, obviously the game or the match rather was awesome. I mean, it was great that you guys left with the win. What was it like being in the crowd during that? Like to realize that Scotland had finally won that first game.
Again, there was an element of just it didn't feel real that we were back at the World Cup. And I mean, I didn't think it was a great game, if I'm honest.
Yeah. It wasn't. But
it wasn't pretty. But we got the result, and every single one of us would have taken 1-0 and a win.
Mm.
Before the game kicked off.
Yeah.
And at the end, it was just like the final whistle went. We just went nuts.
Yeah.
So I didn't leave the stadium, I don't think, for 40 minutes because people were just singing and having fun and taking photos. And as I said before, it's so generational. You know, there's grandparents there with their grandkids, and everyone was just buzzing to be there.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And also, like, for us, there's so much that you do well in terms of, you know, the music and making it a spectacle, and that your screens are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's so good. And also, your food's magic.
Oh, yeah? What do you like in the best? Like, what food do you like in the best?
Everything. Find it my way.
And you filmed the cheerleaders on that high screen.
Do we have Ricky? You're talking to him right now? He's got his finger up. Okay.
Oh, he's going to kill me.
So your partner went, and is he your radio partner?
He's Ricky? Not. No, he's just my friend.
Just your friend, okay.
He's just my friend.
Your friend went viral. And when you say viral, how many hits did he have?
Well, about 10 minutes before I come on air, we're at 5.2 million, which is more than the entire population of Scotland. And so, in the last couple of days, I've got some really good exclusive interviews. I met Billy Gilmore, one of our best players, who unfortunately got injured the day before we were meant to fly out.
Oh, man.
And I met him and his family, so I got a great exclusive with him. Uh-huh. I got an exclusive with Andy Robertson, our captain's mum and dad, which was just a lovely little bit of radio. My mate, looking at boobs on the telly, and it goes right the way around the world.
We have Ricky on the phone, by the way.
Honestly, he's going to kill me.
Let's welcome him on. Ricky, thanks for joining us, Mr. Viral Video Sensation.
No problem. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Just arrived in New York just now.
Okay.
So I'm walking through New York at the moment and getting some funny looks. I don't know if it's gone that viral that people recognize me there or not. But my phone has been going crazy all day.
All right. So Kat, can you describe this video that Ricky went viral for?
Okay. So I was chatting to him. I was trying to talk to Ricky, who's my mate, and he was standing to my right-hand side, and he wasn't paying any attention. You know that way? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing was going through him. And I was like, what's he looking at? And I turned around to the big screen to see what he was looking at, and he was looking at the cheerleaders, which we don't have in Scotland, and they were doing a very interesting that's a dirty laugh, my boy. He was just mesmerised. And then I just turned my camera back to him, and his mouth was open.
Oh, yeah, he's like, oh, my God.
No awareness that anything else was happening apart from these girls on the big screen. So, Ricky, explain yourself, my friend.
I was just purely admiring the choreography of the dancers. absolutely nothing to do with the way they looked at all.
just
absolutely looking at the choreography.
The choreography.
So there's nothing like that in Scotland. That's an American thing.
No.
The cheerleaders.
No, we don't have cheerleaders. It's too cold to be out in your pants and a bra jumping about. We need fur coats and big winter boots.
They wear that in December for playoff games too, in January.
Ricky, I'm so
absolutely.
I'm so curious because the day after it was sitting at about 100,000, and that's when I went, I need to tell him I've put this up, because he didn't know I'd put it on Twitter anyway. How is your lovely wife, Andrea? Is she okay with this?
She's probably on her way over here, ready to kill me.
You've been a bad boy.
No, she's a good sport. She's killing herself laughing. She actually sent me a video. I made a TV program back in the UK, James Corden. So I was on that, and she caught it and sent it through to me in absolute stitches.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's just gone crazy.
Well, I got a text message from ABC and Fox News, and they all want to use it as well.
Oh, great.
No way.
This show, you guys, you're really important, aren't you? Could you make Ricky's dream come true? Could he meet a cheerleader?
Oh,
or the cheerleaders? Can we, could you?
Make that I think happen. We can make that happen.
This guy right here you're sitting next to, it was a New England Patriot.
I'll make it happen.
Well.
I'll make it happen. Kat, Ricky, you're here for, he's in town now?
He's in New York at the moment, but we'll be at the game on Friday.
I'm in New York this night.
Okay.
I'll make some calls. I gotta get Ricky to meet some of the cheerleaders. We gotta make that happen.
His
for
wife
you.
Is wow, really gonna kill me now.
This is definitely divorce material now.
They can explain some of their amazing choreography to you, Ricky.
Well, Ricky, congrats on going viral.
Talent next.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry.
This is one of those great things, Ricky, where you go viral in one thing and then you think the story's gone, and then a week later it goes viral again on a completely different medium. So you're going to be living with us for a while, Ricky. We're going to make sure it's worth it, and you're going to meet an actual cheerleader.
It's crazy. Honestly, I've had pictures sent through that have been AI'd of me in a cheerleader's outfit. <It's> horrendous.
Awesome, Ricky. Well,
eyes will be burning.
I'm glad you're having a great time while you were here in Boston. And, as I said, we were telling Kat, this has been just the best having you guys here. It's made the city a hell of a lot more fun, to be quite honest.
Excellent. Listen, the people at Boston have been amazing. We love them as much as they love us. It's just been one great party, and we look forward to doing it all again on Friday.
That's right. You do it all again on Friday. Thanks, Ricky. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Ricky. See you, man.
All right, we're going to make dreams happen.
And Ricky, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. So what do you got planned for the? You got a lot. I mean, this is a. You got several days. I don't know. Can you hit it this hard?
I need to go and see some culture or something.
Okay.
Did you make it to Fenway last night?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What did you think of the game?
What did you think of the Fenway Park? Did you?
I loved it. Here's the thing, because I met one of your colleagues and he had a hat on that said baseball's not boring.
Yeah,
Rob Bradford.
Yeah. I didn't find any of it boring. I loved it. Oh, and then obviously the fact there was 5,000 of us there just having a party. Yeah.
It sounded like you were the entire park.
The funniest part, see at the end, I went to a bar across from it and I asked, there was 7 of us sitting around this table and I said to him, how did you enjoy that? Oh, it was brilliant. It was great. It was this, it was that. And I went, what was the score? Nobody knew. Not one person knew what the score was.
Yeah, yeah. It seemed like a pep rally, like a Scottish soccer team pep rally. That was it.
But you sang Sweet Caroline, and that's an English song, no?
Well. So here's the thing. That song would probably normally be booed by the Tartan Army anywhere else, but people had given knowledge in advance. Folk from Boston were on Tartan Army websites and saying, we do this at the end. Is it the 8th?
8th inning, yeah.
And we do this, and the Tartan Army put messages going, this is their thing.
Why would they boo it?
Just because it's in England.
Some of them did not.
Oh, it's an English song? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
It's like a song that the English fans sing. So yeah. It's like a good-hearted boo.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're weird. Yeah, boo.
Sometimes we boo it, too. A lot of people, it's like when the Red Sox are losing, a lot of times we're just like, don't do Sweet Caroline. Please don't do Sweet Caroline.
Well, they basically, they did. They sang it. We sang it beautifully.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and the No Scotland, No Party, how long has that been? Is that a long-running thing?
It just goes on and on. I mean, I don't know if you've seen some of the videos from inside Fenway Park at the end. They sang the John McGinn song. Do you know what the John McGinn song is?
I don't know which one it is, but I heard a lot of songs
I didn't know. Basically, it's one little Scott McGinn, Super John McGinn. I just don't think you understand. He's Stevie Clark's man. That's our manager. He's better than Zidane. Zinedine Zidane, pretty much one of the best players that's ever existed.
Yeah.
We've got Super John McGinn. So that's it. It's very simple. But we repeat it and repeat it and repeat it.
There it is.
Who? Super John McGinn. I just don't think you understand.
I mean, it's insane.
Stevie Clark's man is better than Zidane. We've got Super.
Oh, that's awesome.
By the way, your production crew are
he's good.
Slick.
Yeah.
That was good.
Stiz and Jackson are on it.
That was brilliant. And by the way, fair play to whoever was doing the music at Fenway Park last night. Fantastic. They knew all the songs to play, and the wee man playing the piano.
Oh, yeah.
Was trying his best. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Music and songs, just you grow up with it in Scotland. It's just, I mean, there's famous songs that you guys all learn when you're young, and
it
becomes part of your adult life, and everyone knows all the words to all the songs, and
pretty much. But I do think because we're here and there's sunshine and we're just excited, we just can't shut up.
Well, Kat, if somebody like is listening right now and they want to follow your adventures along, what's your social media? Like, if anyone wants to watch, because I mean, you got 5 million views on one of your videos.
Yeah, so at Miss Kat Harvey, which is Kat with a C. It's short for Katrina, which is Gaelic for Catherine.
Excellent.
So it's like Scottish for Catherine and Harvey, H-A-R-V-E-Y, or at We Are STV Radio.
Okay, excellent. So we'll make sure
plug in for that as well.
Excellent. Make sure you get the plug in for that. Well, Kat, I mean, as I said, it's been awesome having you in. Like, this has been, it's made the city 10 times more fun.
Yeah.
You go out and it really, and the videos last night from Fenway Park, you understand. It never sounds like that. Like, people are writing articles about how that was one of the best environments for a sporting event, like, in American sports. Like, they're saying Fenway Park last night was just a next level.
It was incredible. And in front of us, it was Red Sox regulars.
Yeah.
And they were singing No Scotland, No Party. Which I was like, yes, we've got you on board. And I met, like, two lovely ladies from Boston in the bathroom. And they were trying to work out how they could fly over to Scotland and where was best to go. So I was doing my bit for the tourist board while I was having a pee. I never stop.
You're just yelling from one stall to the next.
But I do. I mean, I honestly, thank you for the opportunity to come and tell you how much we have loved being here. There's certain cities in the world, as I said before, Cologne and Germany, we just clicked, and Boston for the Tartan Army were made for each other.
That's
they
awesome.
Really, really were.
Absolutely. Well, this has been great. Kat, as I said, if you want to follow her on her social media at Miss Kat Harvey. Okay, at Miss Kat Harvey, and maybe you'll get to see her good friend Ricky meet a New England Patriots cheerleader if we can try to make that happen.
We're going to make this happen. Right. Ted,
I got to get your number so you can get. I can get in touch with Ricky.
Fantastic.
Right. Awesome, right. Awesome.
Fantastic.
Well, Kat, thanks again for coming in.
No problem.
Go Scotland. We're all rooting for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go. Top of the group. You forgot to mention that.
That's right, top of the group.
Yay.
That's right. All right, we'll be right back.